This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and it has been 2 weeks since the last podcast. I obviously couldn't jump on the podcast right after the Celta Vigo game, and then this weekend we had the Getafe game, and I was actually busy with my son, who has my son is 8 years old. He's also playing football, or soccer, as they call it here in the United States. And, you know, I was busy at a tournament he had this weekend. My son is actually, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but my son is actually shaping up to be a pretty damn good goalkeeper. He fell in love. I wanted him to play other positions and learn other things. But the last year and a half, at least since he's been playing, he started really liking being a goalkeeper. And you know what? There's a lot of kids that I guess don't want to play goalkeeper, or especially at the age of eight, are like afraid of the ball, so they want to get hit with it or whatever. And my son just wants to attack the ball, grab it, smack it, hit it. And he, you know, the other day they lost like 5-0 against the team. But they would have lost like 20-0 had it not been for my kid. So, I mean, I was really happy. Everyone congratulated him after the game for, you know, what is essentially a loss, but, you know, he did a hell of a job saving. It was against a tougher team, you know, a team that was tougher in our league. So, you know, I'm just, you know, you got to let your kid kind of do what he's good at, or he's shaping up to be good at. So, you know, I was there supporting him, and he's getting better and better at it. So, hey, I'm going to ride this train and show him, I'm going to ride the goalkeeper train and show him a lot of videos of Thibaut, Courtois, and you know, other goalkeepers like Iker and Keylor Navas, of course, and of course, you know, other famous goalkeepers as well. But you know, he likes Thibaut, obviously, since, you know, we're Real Madrid fans. But he's also a fan of guys like Alisson from Liverpool, from like Ederson. You know, I've showed him videos of guys like Peter Cech, of Schmeichel, and you know, a lot of the big name goalkeepers over the years. So anyway, he's been getting into that, and so I was not available to, you know, to do the podcast this weekend because he was at a tournament. But I'm back now, and it's really, you know, I'm gonna jump right into it. There's really nothing else to talk about. I mean, a bunch of stuff happened with Rubiales, and as of today, which is Tuesday, that I finally was able to jump on the podcast. Vilda is out from the, you know, the women's Spanish soccer team, essentially football team, the national football team that just won the World Cup. He's out now. Rubiales is not out, but I guess they have a new guy running there while he's on his suspension. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's a whole crazy thing going on there with Vilda. I'm not really, you know, I'm still kind of weirded out about that whole thing, because I feel like what Rubiales did was obviously, you know, crazy. And to do that, like, you know, on a world stage, you know, the kiss, but then also, you know, grabbing his nuts and whatever, like to celebrate. That was a weird thing to do. But with Vilda, man, I honestly feel like nothing has really come out from Vilda that I feel like is really something that, you know, aside from being a coach that seems to be like he's just really strict and overbearing. I was just like, you know, I feel like he's been vilified in a crazy way. And then a lot of people are putting this gif or this gif over and over again of him supposedly touching the other coach, that who's now the coach of the women's national team. I think her name is Monse, right? That he apparently grabbed her or whatever, but they're slowing it down into like a pace where it seems like he's not even knowing what he's touching. He like turns around and like is like either grabbing or pushing away or whatever. And it seems like he's, you know, grabbing her breast, which it's just, you know, to add insult to injury with all the craziness that they were already dealing with just made it seem even worse. And he was already a guy that they wanted out. So I think they were going to get him out. And, you know, even though he won the, you know, and as much as, you know, it's crazy because I support, you know, women's football and everything. But I just think like this whole thing, you would have making him like making Rubiales, who's a scumbag because he's done other things besides the kiss. The kiss was, I think, one of the least things that he's done that was really bad, you know, if you look at his record of things, you know. And then Vilda has kind of been made the scapegoat, essentially, you know, and they used all of these different things. But you would think they committed bloody murder. But hey, man, you know, if it's going to start something new, I guess, you know, it's a good thing. But anyway, I don't want to even talk about that. So another thing, I mean, obviously, you know, let's get right into Real Madrid. It has become the Jude Bellingham show at Real Madrid. There is, I mean, obviously there are other great players at Real Madrid. There's Vinicius, there is Rodrigo, there is Valverde, there is Camavinga, Tchouameni is having an excellent season. Rudiger is doing a great job. Alaba is doing a good job. Dani Carvajal has seems to have found his form again, knock on wood that he doesn't pick up an injury. But all of these guys are just playing at a better, you know, at a more, how would I say, they're just playing at a great level. Is it the most amazing football, attacking football and everything, you know, and is it perfect? No. I feel personally, because I'm a Ancelotti fan and I will defend Ancelotti, that they kind of set up Ancelotti to fail. Absolutely, I believe that. I believe like there's so many different things going on. But before I get into that, it is the Jude Bellingham show. It is essentially a Jude Bellingham show. This guy, as I've said it in the past few podcasts, he's an absolute gem. He is a diamond. He has now scored 5 goals in 4 games. He is scored the winners of the game against Celta Vigo. He scored the winner in the game against Getafe. You know, he is basically, like I said, he scored in every single match so far. So it is the Jude Bellingham show. It is absolutely, this guy is running the show. And he is a midfielder, but he is our most important attacker at this moment. Now, obviously the team is set up in a manner now with this, you know, with this 4-4-2 diamond. It's set up in a way where he really is the only other option to, he's got to play this role where he's stepping into the box. And he's a tall, physical guy. So you know, aside from being, you know, skillful on the ball, so he is able to make plays and set up plays, but also, you know, crosses into the box. Now it seems like, you know, since there's no number 9, you know, Jude Bellingham is essentially sometimes running into the box and being that outlet, that point person, that player that makes his way into the box in order to head home the ball or strike at the ball or, you know, we want to call it. Is he a false number 9? Is he a center forward? Essentially, he's an attacking midfielder that's going up and essentially getting into the box in order to finish plays, because that's the only opportunity he has right now. I mean, I think the only other scoring opportunity we have right now, or the only other person that can really score from headers and plays sort of that number 9 role, is Jude Bellingham, because we don't have a number 9. Because we're so caught up, and this is where I go back to Ancelotti, we've been so caught up in the whole Mbappe thing, which I know, like I said, I don't even want to talk about it. There's been a whole hoopla about, you know, about different journalists like Rodrigo Fáez and Álvarez de Mon and all these other guys saying, you know, that he was going to come, that there was going to be a last minute deal, all this kind of stuff. And I think the majority of Madridistas, or at least I hope the majority of Madridistas, didn't buy into it, because at this point, I honestly feel if he comes in 2024, that's great. But I'm not going to hold my breath for it. I'm not going to. At this point, I absolutely don't even care if he comes. If he comes, it'll be awesome and I'll celebrate it. But I'm not going to even think for one second that it's a possibility, because I feel like, you know, a lot of things, this is the world of football, and a lot of things change in a year. You know, like we've seen with guys like Ansu Fati, you know, going to now to Brighton, which was essentially, he was touted as like the next big thing. And for a while there at Barcelona, he did look like the next big thing. And then injuries happened, and now he's essentially a shell of his former self and of what we initially saw from Ansu Fati. And now you're seeing, you know, now you're seeing that he's off to Brighton to sort of find his best form. You know, just a lot of things can happen in 1 year. It wouldn't be surprising to me if Mbappe is doing this to just get more and more and more money from the Qataris, and ends up sometime, you know, now that he's got his boy Dembele there, you know, now that he's, you know, got, they've got a powerful, they've got a, like, I guess a more, I think what they're trying to do at PSG is they got rid of a lot of the divas, essentially. So even though I think one of the biggest divas was Mbappe himself, the other one being Neymar, I don't think Messi is necessarily a diva, but he's somebody that you're going to have to play to, and you're going to have to, you know, you can't just have Messi playing second fiddle, you know. So they had too many guys that were of too much of a strength to be sharing the same, you know, the same spotlight, essentially. And so now I think that PSG might actually be something interesting. I wouldn't count PSG out, because now they have Kolomwani. Now they have, you know, Kolomwani playing a center role, which I'm assuming that's what he's going to play. You know, you have Dembele out on the right, and you're going to have Mbappe out on the left. You know, and that is a pretty strong front three, all of them Frenchmen, which is something that, you know, Macron and everyone can write home about, you know, and PSG can really sell it, you know, and the Qataris can sell it. You know, it's a French front three that can be devastating in attack, which I think they can if Dembele stays healthy, and you know, Kolomwani has already proven to be a solid number nine, not a world, I wouldn't say a world beating number nine, but he's pretty solid. And with the service he'll be getting at this team, I think you can see some interesting things happen there I think it might be a more, you know, I was listening to Julian Lorenz, you know, say that it's more of a, or Frank LeBeouf the other day on ESPN FC saying it's a little bit more of a balanced side now. It's gotten rid of a lot of the egos. Obviously now Mbappe is probably going to be happy because he's the main guy there. So, you know, I wouldn't sleep on them. I wouldn't sleep on them, even though they have less of these big names. I wouldn't sleep on the possibility of them going somewhere. And the reason I'm saying all that is because I feel like if he gets comfortable, you know, he's with his boy, he's with Dembele, he's with, you know, Kolomwani, guys that share the French national team with him. I wouldn't be surprised if sometime during the year he does sign an extension with PSG and doesn't end up coming to Real Madrid. And then with Haaland, you know, kind of, I guess there's this whole idea of the contract, his contract being up at the end of the season, or him having a clause in his contract at Man City, where he could possibly leave if he wanted to. It could be a possibility to get somebody like Haaland instead of somebody like Mbappe, who's bringing all this sort of baggage. And I think Haaland is more, seems like way more of a team player, you know. So there's a lot of different things can happen in a year. I'm not holding my breath for Mbappe. Then we also have Endrick coming, which is still obviously a prospect and in a work in progress, of course, and he's still very young. But there's a lot of things that can happen. So, you know, I just don't want to hold my breath about it. So we don't have that number nine role. Jude Bellingham has shown up, and he's doing an amazing job. But unfortunately for Real Madrid, we've lost out because of the board's focus, going back to the Ancelotti thing, because of the board's focus on Mbappe, because of this idea that, you know, we've wanted him so badly. Florentino is obsessed with him. He has an obsession with him. And the thing that it seems like is that he wants nobody but Mbappe. He only wants Mbappe. He doesn't want to look at other options when there are options out there that I feel like, well, like Kolomwani was one. I feel like Osimhen is another from Napoli. Harry Kane was an option at one point. You have Vlahovic at Juve. Maybe obviously not, you know, and I think they're, you know, they're trying to avoid another Jovi situation, but how long are you going to be, you know, like, crying over spilled milk over things that already happened and not really look towards the future? And I really do, in this case, as much as I love Florentino, this is not me shitting on Florentino, but as much as I love him, I feel like, you know, maybe whatever he's doing financially, yes, that's helping the club. But in the long term, is he really helping the club achieve goals when it comes to, you know, securing the future, you know, with or you know, making sure that we don't have seasons where, you know, Madrid is always expected to win everything. So are they making a bet for Ancelotti to essentially fail? Are they just seeing it, throwing it out as, you know, another off year where we're just waiting on Mbappe to come, if he ever comes? And, you know, where does that leave things? I mean, the fans, it kind of feels like, okay, so what are we supposed to expect? Just to have a throwaway season? Hopefully not, though. You know, at the same time, I don't want to think that that's the way he thinks, but I do think he's a guy that probably thinks strategically and says, okay, we might have an off year and, you know, let's cut our losses. We'll stay with Joselu as our only number nine. And, you know, we'll have Bellingham and, you know, here Ancelotti's trying to work his way around that. He'll put in a 4-4-2. Vinicius is now going to play a more central role. And, you know, he's going to play, you know, we're going to play with two strikers, Rodrigo and Vinicius, and hope for the best. And it kind of sucks because Vinicius obviously is not, or hasn't seemed as comfortable in that position. Do I feel like he's going to be able to, you know, excel? Sure. I definitely feel like he's going to be able to excel. I honestly, before the injury, and obviously I have to talk about the injury. So the injury at Celta de Vigo, of course, when he was at Balaidos, he's obviously not going to be playing until after the international break and probably, what, they say something like 6 weeks or something. So he's probably not going to be back, or at least he'll be back. At least they said, I think he'll be back for the Madrid Derby, which is on, I'm not even having it here in front of me, but I think he'll be back for the Madrid Derby. So, which is on, let's see. I had it in front of me, so let's check it out here. What are the matches? Matches La Liga, Real Madrid Getafe. Real Madrid schedule. So Atletico Madrid is set for September 24th because before that, as they get back from the international break, right now is September the 5th. So this weekend, you know, all the teams are playing essentially their international games. September 17th is when Real Madrid returns. They will be having Real Sociedad, and then they go and then they also are playing at home against Union Berlin for the Champions League group stage. And then they face off against Atletico Madrid in the Wanda Metropolitano, or is it the Metropolitano? Are they still under Wanda? Anyway, it's the Metropolitano. They're going to face off against Atletico Madrid for the Madrid Derby, which is going to be a tough game because Atletico Madrid is probably one of the stronger teams currently, I think, but more so than Barcelona, who I feel haven't shown really their best at this moment. And who knows? They're without Araujo, they're without Pedri. You know, we'll have to see how that's going to evolve for them, but I don't think they're definitely playing, the best football. I really think it's Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid that can possibly fight it out. So that's going to be a tough game, and that'd be a tough game to face without the likes of Vinicius, because I really liked the way Vinicius played against Celta Vigo when he was, before he got hurt in that game, he was absolutely destroying the Celta back line. You know, he was going out running against Aidu. He was killing him every single time out on the flank and just cutting into the middle. He almost scored a beautiful goal. His pass got a little bit long to Rodrigo, and Rodrigo wasn't able to score that. But, you know, he was just having a phenomenal game. It was more of like the Vinicius of old. So it really sucked to see him go down, and it's just another injury to our season. You know, already with the likes of Arda Güler being out, Vinicius being out, obviously, at least they're not as, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, they're gonna get better and they're gonna be back sooner rather than later. Because Militao and Thibaut Courtois, two main players on our team, are out for the rest of the season. So, you know, hopefully these guys get back. But right now we've been doing a phenomenal job with the likes of Jude Bellingham playing essentially, I mean, he's just playing out of his mind right now. He is, for me, at least at this moment, he is the best midfielder currently, you know, in the world at the moment. And he is an absolute diamond of a player. He is everything you want. He's everything we could have wanted as a Madridista. He's oozing Madridismo. He likes to be at the team, on the team. He is absolutely has the maturity, has the mentality that you could see the things that he does, the way he celebrates, the way he talks to players, the way he talks to, you know, the opposition if they're trying to get in his head. He is just completely centered. He has that mentality. I really hope he doesn't lose it. I think he's just this guy is something special. You know, and I don't want to talk it up too much because obviously right now he's going, we can call this like a purple patch. He's doing really well. There's going to be moments where he's not going to do well. There's going to be games coming up where he might not score, you know, where he might not play, absolutely his best. And we have to see, you know, how he's going to face those, you know, evidently happen, you know, trials and tribulations as you go, ups and downs, ebbs and flows as you go through your game. But can he, you know, remain consistent and still, even when he has a bad game, pull out a quality performance, which is something that a lot of world-class players, the likes of, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo, the likes of Lionel Messi, the likes of Zidane, who he is compared to, the things that they had was, of course, consistency. That consistency to even on their bad days, put up a solid performance, you know? So I really feel like that is what we can get from this guy, but I don't want to sing, you know, I don't want to, what do you call it? Count all your chickens before they hatch or whatever. I don't want to say he's going to, because, you know, it's the same thing that we've seen from so many players that you thought were going to be, you know, that we thought were going to be amazing or were, you know, smoke was blown up their ass, to say it in, you know, in a crude form, basically saying, you know, these guys are the next big thing. And then how many of those next big things have we seen just fizzle? I mean, Joao Felix is one of them. He's now at Barcelona. He couldn't find his form in Chelsea. He hasn't been able to find his form at Atletico. For all intents and purposes, I don't think he's going to find it at Barcelona. It just doesn't seem like he is that world-class, you know, consistent player that, you know, everyone thought he was going to turn into. You know, and there's tons of other players that have gone that route. So do I want to, you know, say Jude Bellingham is the next big thing? Not yet, but I really do in my heart of hearts, and especially because he's playing at Madrid, believe he is. And I think, you know, we are so, so, so lucky to have him, and the fact that he wanted to play for our team, and the fact that he loves the team like he does. He's easy to get. He's easy to like. The fans already love him. The love affair has already started. This man, I already want to get a Bellingham jersey. Shit. I have a bunch of jerseys. I realize that my last few Real Madrid jerseys have all been, the away kits. Or the third kit, so they've been either the black or the blue. None of them have been the white ones. Bottom line is I want to get a white one from this season, and I want to get both from this season, because I think both of the kits that we have this season are absolutely phenomenal. All three of the kits we have at this season are absolutely phenomenal. But I want to get a Bellingham white jersey, and then I think I'll just get a regular, you know, no name on it, of the black or whatever the third one is. I think it's the third one that's just like black and orange or whatever, or gold. That one was the one I want to get. The other one I think has like a sort of purplish weird, it's got like a pattern, and then it has like blue and like a darkish blue and orange on it, or gold. So that one I like too. I don't know. Maybe I'll jump on and get that one too. But I don't have all the money in the bank right now, man. You know, this podcast isn't making me shit tons of money. So so we'll come back to that later, you know. But yeah, I mean, I with that said, I think the other things are is that this team, one of the things I wanted to talk about, you know, going back to the whole Mbappé thing, I really think, and Carlo Ancelotti thing, I honestly feel like, you know, God, man, so many people talk so much shit about Ancelotti. It's ridiculous on Twitter or X, whatever. I'm still not going to. It's still fucking X to me. I mean, still Twitter to me. But so many people talk so much trash about Ancelotti. And like, it's like, do people realize I mean, so many people want modern coaches and these modern, like, and what are the modern coaches? Who are the modern coaches? Nagelsmann, where's he at? You know, Tuchel, how's he doing with Bayern? You know, Pep Guardiola is the only one that you can say, okay, is he the modern coach? Is he the best coach at the moment? Sure, but he's also got an embarrassment of riches at his disposal at Manchester City. I'm wondering, would anybody else with that type of team be able to get that those type of results? I'm pretty sure quite a few coaches that are solid could get those results. You know, so who are the other coaches that you would really say, oh, you know, it's not, Mourinho is not, he's definitely an old school coach. But Carlo Ancelotti has won so much and people still feel like that they can shit on this man. You know, because they want some sort of new guy, you know, like, and you know what you're going to get at Real Madrid. I mean, I don't understand what people are trying to reinvent the wheel. Like, if you're a Real Madrid fan, you got to know what you're getting into. Real Madrid is, Florentino is God, okay? As much as you want to talk shit about Florentino, Florentino is God. As much as you want to talk shit about Jose Angel Sanchez, those guys are not going anywhere, man, you know? Those guys are not changing. You know, and they're going to hire a yes man coach, or they're going to hire somebody that is probably going to be from the legends of Real Madrid lore. So essentially it's going to be, I don't know if Zidane again, since Zidane already has said enough that he didn't feel supported in his project. And as long as Florentino's around, Florentino's going to do what he wants to do. He's not going to really follow whatever the coach wants, like Zidane wants. You know, Zidane can't come with a laundry list of demands and get that from somebody like Florentino. Nobody can. So I think, you know, you're going to get a yes man. You're going to get a company guy, somebody like Carlo Ancelotti, or somebody who's young but still part of the company. You're going to get a Xabi Alonso. You're going to get a Raul. You know, probably more Xabi Alonso, who right now has Bayer Leverkusen. What are they, undefeated currently in the Bundesliga? I think I was just looking at the Bundesliga and I was reading an article on the Athletic, Leverkusen. Leverkusen is currently sitting standings. They're in first place. I'm sorry. They're in first place. All right, they are beating Bayern on goal differential, but they're in first place under Xabi Alonso. 3 games into the season, we'll see how it is. And who did they face? Bayer Leverkusen faced Darmstadt, who just, you know, I guess just came from second division, and they beat Leipzig, which is a pretty tough team, and Borussia Mönchengladbach, which is another team that usually gives other teams in Bundesliga fits. So not too shabby, but we'll see how it continues. But it's probably going to be a company guy like Xabi Alonso coming. But the amount of shit people talk for a man who's won as many trophies as Ancelotti has won. And the thing is, chemistry is something that I feel like people just don't understand about. I mean, I feel like if you've played a sport, a team sport, or if you've done any sort of coaching in your life, if you've done any sort of professional sport, semi-professional sport, where, you know, you are competitive, you are competing for trophies, you're competing for medals, you're competing for belts, whatever it is. Chemistry is such a huge thing to have, especially in a team sport. So I was involved in pretty much not a team sport, which was, you know, fighting. But it is a team. You have to work with, you know, other team members, other fighters. They're helping you train, you know, they're helping you spar. Then you have coaches, you have a variety of coaches, 1 or 2 or 3, you know, that are all experienced. They've all been in the ring before. So you have to have chemistry. No one is just going into my fighting thing, if no one is in a gym, no fighter is in a gym that they absolutely hate being in, working with a coach that they absolutely don't get along with, and winning things. You don't see that happen. You never see that happen. So move that over to football. There's no, you know, that's why my whole thing with this whole idea of, you know, well, forget that. I didn't want to jump into the whole Spanish, you know, national team, women's national team thing. So anyway, going to like, when have you seen a team that their chemistry is gone between the coach and the players? They're not doing well. As good as the coach is, they're not performing. They're not winning anything. The team is just not, they're winning everything regardless of the fact that you hear all of this stuff and that the players don't get along. You know, if there is a chasm, if there is a big divide between the coach and the players, it is 100% evident in the way they play. You know, they're not going out there winning trophies and winning championships if the chemistry of the team is not well. And the one thing that I love about Real Madrid right now, the one thing that makes me excited, and I think, you know, I see a lot of these self-hating Madridistas that all they want to do is talk shit, that all they want to do is hate on everything, you know, and I understand we need a number nine. I understand we need a number nine as much as anybody. I understand that we need a backup right back that can deputize Carvajal, because this guy is not going to last all season with the way he's playing right now. He's playing out of his skin right now. He's doing great, but he's not going to last all season playing Champions League, playing Copa del Rey, playing La Liga. He's not going to last all season if, you know, if he's the only guy on the roster. I mean, and then the backup you have is Lucas Vázquez, which, yes, he can come in and fill a role, but he is not a world-class guy. He is a Swiss Army knife of a player, similar to Nacho. These guys are the guys that are going to resolve your issues, but they're not going to be, you know, they're not giving you depth. They're not giving you the, you know, they are giving you depth, but they're not giving you a quality backup like that you really need. And right now, Carvajal is in need of somebody that can occasionally challenge for his spot or give him some time to rest, because he's not a young guy, man. He's not a spring chicken, as we say here in America. So that is going to be those issues are not, I'm not trying to gloss over them, you know, and I don't want to gloss over them like I've seen many Madrid papers glossing over the fact that, oh, you know, Madridistas are being too, they're being too negative. No, we're not being negative. It's the fact that this is Real Madrid. You don't settle. We've never settled for not having a number nine, for God's sakes, for there being no number nine on the entire team. What is this, the first time in history that Real Madrid has played without a number nine? You know, without a physical player wearing a number nine jersey? The only number nine, the only actual out-and-out number nine we have is wearing number 14, which is Joselu. You know, or is he wearing number 14? Whatever. So the only out-and-out number nine we have is Joselu, right? And that's ridiculous, because Real Madrid has never been a team just to settle. And that, to me, is, you know, people want to crap on Ancelotti when we don't perform well, but it's, like I said, they have set him up to essentially fail, you know, with not having some important pieces, you know. And I still think that Ancelotti is well capable, and not only Ancelotti, but this team is well capable of pulling a rabbit out of a hat. Why? Because Ancelotti is such an incredible man manager, because he is such a presence in the dressing room. You could see the players absolutely love this man. They want to die for this man. The chemistry that I see from these players, just the celebration the other day with Jude Bellingham, the way they all jumped on him, they're laughing, they're smiling. You got this psycho that is Rudiger gut-punching Alaba. You got Alaba smacking people in the face, you know, just for shits and giggles. Like, these two guys are two madmen, but they're hilarious. The chemistry, then the pictures you see of Camavinga hanging with Vinicius in Brazil, then of Jude Bellingham out with Camavinga and Vinicius, of Vinny calling him Judy or whatever he called him, or Belly or whatever he's calling him. You know, just this really fun vibe that I'm getting from this team when you watch them is that they enjoy playing with one another. And not only that, the fight that they're showing. I mean, when they were down against Getafe, the fight that they showed to get back into the game. The fight not only they showed to get back into the game and tie the game, but the fight they showed even when it was 1-1 and they could have been like, all right, well, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's the game is ending. They were still pushing and pushing and pushing to get the winner. You know, so the same against Almeria. You know, they're pushing and pushing and pushing to make sure that, you know, they get the result. And right now we're sitting pretty in first place. Now, obviously we haven't faced the toughest teams yet. You know, we have to face Real Sociedad. We have to face, you know, we have to face Atletico Madrid. We have to face Barcelona. We have to see how we're going to do in the Champions League with teams like Union Berlin, who, you know, are a surprise package. I don't think you can sleep on them, you know. They have some solid players in their ranks, you know. But, you know, I really feel like this team currently has what it takes to do well, has what it takes to win. Do I feel like they have what it takes to win the Champions League? That remains to be seen. I don't feel like we're favorites there. I do feel like we're favorites to win La Liga. I do feel like we can pull out Copa del Rey. But do they have what it takes to beat the likes of Manchester City? I don't think we have the squad depth. I don't think we have the attacking talent. Because I don't think you can have everything sitting. You know, our goals can't all be scored by a guy who's essentially playing a number 10 or attacking midfielder role. That's not what he's there for. And how long is he going to be able to sustain that? I don't want to sleep on Joselu. I think a lot of people shit on Joselu and are sleeping on Joselu. I think he's a way bigger step up from Mariano. And I think it's one of the two of the things that make me feel like he's a step up from Mariano is I feel like he's more talented than Mariano. And I also feel, I mean, he's got more minutes under him than Mariano. He's got more experience. I feel he's got more talent. And essentially he's got one other thing, which he's got the desire. This guy really wants to be at Real Madrid. He's always wanted to be at Madrid. He shows it in the games. I feel like he really wants to be here. And there's something about him that I'm just getting a good feeling from. I think Joselu is a good guy to have there. Now, is he going to score? You know, is he going to be scoring left and right? I mean, hopefully he can score, you know, put in the 15 goals he scored for Espanyol last season. If he can put in 15 goals and then we have the likes of Jude Bellingham and Vinicius and Rodrigo banging in goals as well as maybe Valverde scoring the occasional goal, Modric scoring the occasional goal, Kroos scoring the occasional goal, perhaps maybe Camavinga or Tchouameni, you know, when all of those add up, I think we can pull something out. But, you know, Joselu would add to the tally. So all of those numbers would help us out. But not having an out-and-out number nine, world-class number nine is an issue. And it's an issue that we shouldn't have sat on. And it's an issue that I feel you can't blame Ancelotti. And I think at this point, I can't understand why people hate on this guy. And it's just crazy to me. You can say, oh, he doesn't have tactics. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. You know, and I'm like, dude, what? You know, like, if he's getting the results, right? So he didn't get them. Let's say he didn't get everything last season, right? And you know, but still, I think what it is, you know, once again, it goes back to Florentino being God and you guys understanding that that's who we're dealing with, and that that's how Real Madrid rolls. And if you're a new Real Madrid fan, sorry to tell you, but that dude's not going anywhere unless, you know, God forbid he croaks anytime soon, which I hope doesn't happen. Or he steps down. But if he steps down, I guarantee you he's going to leave it in the hands of somebody that is probably somebody that he handpicked. And aside from that, you know, you're going to have coaches that are going to follow the Real Madrid tradition, the Real Madrid tradition, which is going to be guys like Xabi Alonso. He's probably going to be the next guy. And they're going to be more company men. And you're not going to see them, you know, because, and honestly, I feel like you need that pragmatism. You know, as much as people hate Florentino, because I think right now, and like I said, I don't want to fall on the side of being an apologist for him either. I think his obsession with Mbappe let other guys that were good enough for right now to slide, and where you probably could have gotten for cheaper. And, you know, because there is no guarantee in life, in football, there's no guarantee in life, let alone football. Like I said, anything can happen, man. Mbappe could get injured tomorrow and have a, you know, God forbid, because I don't wish him anything bad, but God forbid Mbappe could have a career-ending injury tomorrow, you know, or, you know, this weekend when France plays, you know, or sometime this season. Or he can get hurt and, you know, you have to take time off and he comes back and he's not the same player. Anything can happen in football. Or he re-signs with PSG. He signs an extension with PSG. And then the same fight happens over and over again. And then we concentrate again on Mbappé. So many things can happen. So for me, my problem with Florentino is his obsession with Mbappé. Because it has cost us other guys that could have been potentially just as good in the end, or what we need, you know? I think I remember a line from a movie. It's just the people, you know, you're so concerned with looking, they were saying it to a woman, but it was like, you're so concerned waiting for Mr. Right, that no, they don't see that Mr. Right now is waiting for them at the corner bar, you know? So essentially it's like, you could deal, you're waiting for something that could happen when, you know, the opportunity for something that will happen, you know, or the opportunity for something that's good enough or just as good, or maybe not just as good, but fits really well into the team, was right there, you know? But you're waiting for this pipe dream. And maybe it's not a pipe dream, because we know Mbappe has apparently said, you know, for many years that that's his dream, is to come to Real Madrid. But my thing for me with this whole thing is, why would anybody that really wanted to come to Real Madrid, you know, beat around the bush and just like be so freaking indecisive about it if he really wanted to come to Real Madrid? You know, this guy doesn't seem to me like he really wants to come here. Anybody who really wants to come here will fight. We've seen it with other players, the way they'll like put a hand in transfer requests, not show up to training. I mean, obviously you don't want them to be unprofessional, but they'll be really adamant about the fact that they want to go, you know? And if he really wanted to do that, with the amount of power that Mbappe has supposedly at PSG and the amount of star power he has as is being Mbappe, you really wonder, does he really want to come here, man? And that's why, to me, it's like, I see these players that we have currently at Real Madrid with the likes of, you know, under Ancelotti. I think we have such amazing players. You know, we have such an amazing players. We have such an amazing chemistry that I feel like bringing another number nine that'll probably fit that role. Somebody like, I feel like Haaland is more of a team player. I feel like Harry Kane would have been more of a team player, essentially jumping into that role. I feel like Osimhen would be somebody that could jump into that role. Maybe Vlahovic, you know, Kolumwani. These guys would have jumped into that role easy. Kolumwani would have fit in this team like a glove, man. Because, you know, he's already got the French connections there, you know. He would have fit perfectly. Harry Kane, those guys, Haaland, those guys are going to be a little bit more difficult because they're going to kind of be a fish out of water in a team that's more like Franco-Spanish than it is, Nordic or English speaking. Well, now with Bellingham, I mean, Harry Kane would have fit perfectly. Haaland, you know, might fit because, you know, of course, now we have this amazing Englishman with us that is a total leader as well. But we just spend so much time on that, and it just really bothers me. But going back, I feel like, honestly, I feel like, is Mbappe is such a diva, dude, that I think he would come and he would really maybe ruin this thing that we have, you know, ruin this thing that we have where these guys seem to really be getting along and playing and liking each other and really enjoying playing their football with one another. That's not always the case. And I mean, it's the reality of life. When it comes to a job, you're not going to like everybody you work with. You just got to tolerate them and do your job. You know, it's not, nobody's perfect. You know, I don't get along with every single coworker. You know, I have a great team at my job, which is one of the reasons I'm sticking around. And I feel like I'm going to stick around for the long term, you know. But, you know, the idea is professionalism. And then sometimes, like what happens with me and my team at work, like you get to where, you know, you do sort of vibe so well with them and get along so well with them that now your work doesn't seem so much like work. It, you know, you really enjoy going and doing what you got to do. Yeah, sure, it's a job, and sure, you're doing, sure, you're sometimes doing things that you don't want to do and you have to, you know, deal with all that, but. And we feel like football is football and they're probably enjoying the hell out of their lives and all this stuff like that. But, you know, I'm pretty sure you're playing thousands of games throughout an entire career, hundreds of games a season. It wears on you. And there are days that you go show up to training and you're really like, I just don't want to be here today. Regardless of how much they're paying you. And then you don't get along with people. But to see how these guys are doing that and are working together and getting along, I really feel like it's going to be tough for somebody like this guy to come in. And that's why I feel like Florentino just kept on is, you know, he really just shit the bed with that this whole decision. And now we're going to have to see how it plays out in the season. But going back, like I said, I don't want to gloss over all that. Do I feel like these guys are enough, that these guys can do something special? Yeah, I think there's something special in this team right now. Once Vinicius is back, you know, he's healthy. If these guys can stay healthy, you know, hopefully we can do something in the winter transfer window and bring in a right back, but I'm definitely holding my breath on that. You know, so the thing is, you know, once we have those things, and, you know, once we have Vinicius back and, you know, hopefully Arda Güler and, you know, he starts coming in and he shines the way, you know, a lot of people are expecting him to. I think we have something special. Do we have enough to win the Champions League? Like I said earlier, no, I don't. I mean, this is Real Madrid. I think we always have something special when it comes to the Champions League, but you know, it's going to be tough. You're facing a Manchester City that is without a doubt one of the best teams in the world right now. And I really think those are the tough teams. Honestly, I feel like Man City is the team to beat. What other teams do I really feel? Do I feel like we can go toe-to-toe with Arsenal? Sure, I feel like we can go toe-to-toe with Arsenal. Can we go toe-to-toe with this Bayern Munich currently? I do. I feel like we can go. We have to see how Harry Kane settles in. If he starts banging in goals left and right, I mean, they have a lot of talent on that team. But still, I feel like we can go toe-to-toe with them. I think we can go toe-to-toe with PSG, this current, you know. I think the one team that's looking much better this season, these two teams that are looking much better this season, AC Milan is looking very still as solid as they were last season. Inter Milan also looking stronger this season. I think those Italian teams are going to continue being trouble, and I think they're doing a great job in Serie A. And me being a guy who's obsessed with Italy and loves Italy and loves Serie A aside from La Liga, I really hope to see, you know, Serie A shine and do well. Napoli is another team that, of course, I hate the fact that we have to face them. I would like not to have to face them until later on, but I think we're the two favorites to essentially get out of that group. You know, but I think we can go toe-to-toe to everyone except, and we could probably go toe-to-toe with Man City, but I think it's going to be another tough game to deal with. And who knows when we'd meet them, you know. So, you know, yes, it can happen, but, like, and I think there's something special there. But, you know, Florentino, the board, I'm not going to say just Florentino. I think the board just fucked us on that, you know. And as a Madridista, you know, I think we have to realize that that's just unfortunately sometimes it's like we shouldn't settle. We don't settle. But as a Madridista, you kind of are obligated to, because as long as Florentino's obsessed with Mbappe, that's what's going to happen. And hopefully, you know, hopefully we get him, because if not, expect next year that he's not going to come either. And then we're not going to sign anybody else. Oh, wouldn't that be something? Oh God. But anyway, guys, I think that's about it for now. I think that's about it for for what I had in my thought process right now. But no. So before you guys go, before we head out, I just wanted to say thank you for listening again to the Nada Más podcast. Also wanted to say, please check us out on social media at Nada Más podcast on Twitter or X. At Nada Más Podcast on Instagram. Well, actually, on Instagram, it's at YNM Podcast. At Nada Más Podcast on Facebook. And, of course, at Nada Más Podcast on YouTube. So remember, if you're listening right now, we have a video version of the podcast where you can see my beautiful face talking to the camera or slightly off camera. And you can subscribe there. So if you are, you know, listening, please, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, and also check us out on inadamas.net is our main website. We did some little changes there as well. Trombach is writing for us. I'm gonna bring on hopefully, I would say maybe sometime this weekend, just to kind of do a podcast looking into the future, where we're at. I want to see if I can bring on the likes of Halal and Trombach, maybe if not this weekend, the following. Then I head out to New York. So I'm going to be in New York for a weekend and I won't be able to do a podcast. That'll be actually the weekend when we play, Real Sociedad, I believe. So I won't be available for that one. Hopefully I can do something and show up and not just disappear. But yeah, so Real Madrid, Real Sociedad, September 17th. Yep, I'm going to be out. I fly out the 16th to New York. Don't know if I'm going to be able to do a podcast then or even watch the game, unfortunately. But I will try to do it as soon as I can. And, you know, and like I said, I'm going to feature other people on the podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, guys. Once again, please rate, give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. It helps us rise up in the ranks within their whatever library of podcasts. And that's about it, guys. I thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for, you know, supporting the podcast. You know, a lot of you guys have sent messages saying you missed it. You're saying that you're glad I'm back. That was awesome. You know, I'm just one dude, like I said. Just a couple of us guys working here. Really, it's like three of us, essentially. Four of us in the end. And most of the editing and everything is now me. So I really appreciate you guys. And I'm going to try to, like I said, keep as up to date as possible when I can. And that's it. So can't wait to see the game, the upcoming games. Obviously, when we come back, it'll be Real Madrid, Real Sociedad. So I'm going to have to see how I check that out. Maybe I'll do something on the Instagram, maybe upload like a quick video or something, not something fancy when it comes to a podcast. Then we have Real Madrid, Union Berlin in the Champions League, and then Atletico Madrid. And Atletico Madrid, I might do a Twitch, you know, so maybe like a watch along or something. I don't know if you guys are into that. Hit me up in the comment section if you think I should do like a Twitch or something like that. You know, like a live essentially. So that's it, guys. That's it. Thank you very much for listening to the Nada Más podcast. I will catch you guys on the flip side. A la Madrid.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid podcast.